Rabose. Shir is a cool English mass. So coming out of Tisha B'av, we now have the next holiday, which is actually what the topic of the evening, Tu B'av. Tu B'av in modern Israel, which is actually known as, if I'm not mistaken, the Jewish Valentine's Day. It was a love holiday. And the earlier settlers, writers, poets, they wrote about, described the different festivals that would go on in cities in Eretz Yisrael on Tu B'av. Now, at one point, it fell into demise, and Tu B'av just became a day without much significance to it. But in Halacha, in Svarim, in the more Jewish history, not just in the literature, we do find that there was an Indian legate, Tachlin, for example. We find by the Rishonim, the time of the Maram Yeratzenberg. We find Mariel. We find a bunch of places again who wouldn't say Tachlin. The Ram actually says in Gimel, he said that we wouldn't say Tachlin, even though the Shulchan Aruch brings down. Right before, right then, he said, "Bottle Megillas Tainus." Megillas Tainus was from the time of the Tanoim. They had a whole list of a bunch of Yom Tovim besides for the main holidays as we know them. There were a bunch of other Yom Tovim which are listed over there, and all those Yom Tovim they were eating what you can be masculine and you can't, and yet all of those were bottle after the korban, and we only keep the, so to say, the biblical ones besides Hanukkah and Purim. So included in that list was Tu B'av. So says the Magen Avraham that because, however, Tu B'av is actually mentioned in the Torah, he said that's why he's marked that we wouldn't say Tachanun. The Maril, if he made a neder, that he wouldn't eat Basar, he wouldn't keep it on Tu B'av and others. He wouldn't eat because it had significance to it. The Levosha also, a bunch of places. Point being that there was something to it. So what was this something? We just read in Eva. The roads of Tzion were desolate. They were mourning. Nobody was coming. Kosher Hashem, and all its gates were empty. Were shemim desolate. Nobody was using the doors. Her maidens, the Himarla, were nugos. They were mourning. The Himarla, and it was bitter for her. Says the Targum. Who this Targum is, that's another discussion. We have two different Targum, because we know that Gemara Megillah tells us who wrote the Targum to Nevi'im, Yonas ben Uzziel. He wanted to go ahead and write Ksuvim, Hashem stops him, he refrains. Who wrote the Ksuvim? It's a question. There's two different ones. We have a Yemenite Targum, and then the classic one, so to say, that we have. One is more literal, one is more allegorical. The one, if I'm not mistaken, in this Amar, Chumash, is the more allegorical one, which is interwoven in it, Midrashim and other previous Chazal. This Targum was early, date-wise, and says the Targum, Besultava Safdan, the Besules of Tzion were Safdan, they were Seifik, and they were mourning, Adi Paskul, Amepak, Bechamsha, Asa, Yemen, Av. Because they would stop, they had stopped going out on the 15th of Av, Uviyam the Kippuraya. And on the day of Yom Kippur, Vihu Ba'asar Yom Tishrei, that is on the 10th of Tishrei, Lechinga B'Tinugin, to go out and dance with her, dance that Ihi Marira Liva Lachado. And therefore, it was bitter on her heart. So you see that the 15th of Av had some parallel to the 10th of Tishrei, Yom Kippur. That they would go out and dance. What was the parallel of Yom Kippur? You would think the most solemn day of the year. you would think Tu B'Av, just a random day after the summer, we just got a Tisha B'Av, Mashiach didn't yet come, so maybe it's nothing significant. So for that, we have a Mishnah, for which I forgot to bring. The Mishnah, that's the main part of the Shir, Mishnah and Tainus. If I can get through the Mishnah and Tainus. Or Misef and Abavu. The Mishnah starts on Kavod. Says the Mishnah. Om Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The end of the Mishnah. Like, how Yom Tov Yisrael kechamish aser ba'av ukiyoyim hakipurim. There were no greater Yom Tov in Yisrael as chamish aser ba'av in Yom Kippur. Rashi's are better. No offense to our old arts girl, just the coloring and the boldness I like. There are no greater days between these as these two. That seems quite a paradox. So the Mishnah continues. What would happen? What transpired then? Shebehen b'nois Yushalayim yotzes teflei lavan sheulin. The b'nois Yushalayim would go out in white garments that were borrowed. Shelo levayish es misha'en lo. Not to embarrass somebody who didn't have such nice pristine garments. So they would swap, or they would borrow one from another, and everybody now had nice clean white garments. And they would go out and dance on these 2 days. Misha'im, the kala kelim to unim tvila. All these kelim, all these begadim that they would wear, kelim, the synonyms with begadim, would need tvila. Ubnois Yerushalayim, yoytzes v'choyles v'chromim. They would go out and they would choyles, they would play their flutes in the chromim, in the vineyards. Amaho yoyimreis, what would they say? Bachor, young man, son of Yenecha. Lift your eyes, or aimata barilacha, and find for who or what you choose. Al tidei nenecha benoi. Don't look at the external beauty. Don't look at prettiness. Tidei nenecha b'mishpacha. Look at the lineage. Sheker atein v'heva leoi pishiras Hashem hitas halom. Va'omer tnula mipriyadera v'yaluva b'shar nasera. V'chein hu omer. It also states. It also states. Questionable, maybe if we'll have time, we'll get to it. Who's still saying this? Is this all Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel? He's bringing this other pasuk. So, Rav Shimon ben Gamaliel, he's equating the two. He says, no, we didn't have greater Yom Tov as Yom Kippur and Chamisha Asavah. Well, what happened? And he goes on to describe the events of go out dancing. It begs the question, did this, when he described, well, whoever is describing, Rav Shimon Gamliel is describing, let's presume that he's the one who was still talking, that they would go out and dance. They were dancing even on Yom Kippur. They had a whole singles event after davening. When did this happen? Why Yom Kippur? So says the Gemara. The Gemara asks this obvious question. Gemara, the end of Tainus, Laman on the base. So that's the Gemara. Vishlam Yom Kippurim. I understand why it was a festive day. Mishum this basically Chol Mechila. Yoyim didn't by Lucas Achroinus. There was a, so to say, Matan Torah on that day. It was Slipo Mechila. And there was a second Lukas, like Rashi says. He gives a whole Cheshvin. Shiva Sabatamas is broken. Before Moshe goes back up, it comes down. He's in style. Hashem is Moichel the Seleach. And then they get the second Lukas. So it's like a Matan Torah. And then Rashi ends up. But I say, Hayoim. Nikbal Yom Kippur. Lahidi Hashem Mokal, Hashem was Mokal v'nicham al hara'o. Hashem Yibel HaSez Amin. Ve'al Kein, Nikbal Yom Kippur ba'asar b'tishrei kach shamati. So Yom Kippur, I can understand why it was a festive day. L'choyer, it wasn't during the day. even though, granted, their liturgy wasn't like ours, they didn't have all the speed and everything, so they must have stomach ended davening much earlier. But it was probably at some point at the end of the day. So Yom Kippur, they felt the mechila and slicha, they go out, they dance, wonderful. Ela tuba av ma'ay, asking them all. Tuba av, what was the significance then? It was the day when the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry. There was tribal marriages. A Ruveni would marry Shemaynis, Shemaynis would marry Zvulun, and so on. My they made a drasha then. The Pasuk says, in the whole story of the Bnei Tzlafkot, what happens? They come to Moshe Rabbeinu. They tell him, Avino meis bamidbar, and he didn't have any kids. V'hulai haya ba'adas koira. He wasn't in that whole parish over there. He died, you know, b'chetayma, then meis. So he didn't have any sons, so why should we lose that now? We lose the whole nakala? They say, okay, you got a taina. He says, good question. He goes to Hashem. Hashem tells them, came to nice tzlach b'dayvos. They're pakara, they're b'kaina. So they get their father's nachla. Okay, what happens? They're from b'nai tzlach, from b'nai menashe, coming from Yosef. Yosef was split into two. So comes along the b'nai menashe, and they say, wait, hold on. If the women are now going to get their father's nachla, so they'll end up intermarrying. Someone from Menashe is going to go marry Yisachar. And then, you know, eventually after a few days, it's done. There's no more Nachala. Lama Yigar Nachala Seinu. So Moshe says, good time. He goes to Hashem again. Hashem says, they're right. Everyone's right. The B'nai Menashe right, and B'nai Tzlafkot are right. So Hashem tells Moshe, and Moshe gives us and finishes the whole dinim of Nachala. And he says like this: the girls, they can inherit their father. There's no boys. They're going to go to a different shevet. So everyone stays in their own shevet, and now it's subsumed. All stays within the shevet. So till then, there was everyone Reuben married Reubenites. Everyone Shimon married the Shimonites. Till we get to later. In history, there is. Because as of then again, no intermarriage. Fine. Gemara is telling us that what happened in Tuba Av? Hutur Shvatim Lava Zebazet. When was it Hutur Lava Zebazet? Because they made a drasha. Zeha Dovar Shasila Noyd of Nice Slava. Dovar Zeba Yehinoik Elabidor Ze. Only in this generation they made a drasha, meaning in the Dor HaMidbar. Later on, once we're in Eretz Yisrael, once all the Nachos were already divided, so then, everyone can intermarry, tribal intermarriages, that is. What was the next case, the next drasha? And when did this drasha that they just made to permit the intermarriages? This happens at the end of Shoftim. At the end of Shoftim, we have the story of Pelegish Begibah. The story of Pelegish Begibah, a horrific Jewish incident. Of basically a Maisis Zayn, the young girl was raped to death. The Zigna Yisrael, they say this is an atrocity, we have to excommunicate Binyamin, they want to cut off Binyamin, and they make sure nobody's allowed to give their kids to their daughters to Bnei Binyamin. What would happen eventually? So you can have end up having a shevet that's completely cut off of Bnei Yisrael. So go back and forth, then they finally come, the Zigna Ha'eda come to the rest of the Shvatim, they say, you know, we're going to end up declining, and there's going to be no more, there's not going to be a remnant. So they give an Eitzah like this. So they tell them, at the end of Shvatim, there's a Chag that we have for Hashem, B'shilay, miyomim yamima. Annual, an old day. There's an old holiday that they would celebrate. Hashem Mitzvah Leveisel Mizracha Hashemesh. That was eastward. And during this holiday that they have in Shiva, he tells that they say, Beitzav was b'nei bin yom and lemar, l'chu, go there, ba'arab tem ba'kramen. Go lie in ambush in these vineyards. You can see the girls of Shilai going out to dance. Come out of the vineyards. Grab yourselves a wife from Shilai. Go back to Binyamin. All is good. That's what happens. Okay, very nice. The sacred tells us the end that that's what happens. Everyone goes there. They it's ambush. Givali. With that information, let's see weiter in the Gemara. Amar Yisrael, Amar Nachman, Yom Shehuter Shevet Binyamin Lovi Bikamal. Shenema v'ish Yisrael Nishbal v'mitzvah lemer ish mimenu leitim b'yitem l'binyamin l'isha. Because they made a shavu over there. Ish mimenu should give his bitoy l'binyamin. My darosh, what darosh did they make to permit Binyamin to come back into the fold? Amarav mimenu v'lami b'neinu. It was only for that time. Or they said only for those people who were involved, but not for their progeny. So what happened here? They, and L'chair, according to the Gemara, this happened in Tuba. So they, the Ziknei to tell them, they wanted to somehow come up with a trick, a loophole, some type of a Jewish legal subterfuge. They say, you know what, there's something going on. There's some type of chag in Shiloh. During that chag, we'll do this. What was this chag, and when was this chag? Because it seems like it was Miyam and Yamima. It happened way before. And if the Gemara is telling us that this whole thing with the Hutru Shvatim Zelazah and also Binyamin to come back in happened on Tuba of, but 1 second, the Navi there was telling us that Tuba of when this happened was really based on a chag that was Miyam and Yamima much earlier. We'll keep that in mind. But everyone agrees it must have been something that even preceded this Tuba when we permitted Binyamin to join the fold and the Shvatim were able to intermarry. Then the Gemara.
Why couldn't they do a Taras Nedarim? It's all. A Taras Nedarim.
Why couldn't they do a Taras Nedarim? They didn't make it, it was a Shvua. Why couldn't they be Matar the Shvua? Bnei Israel didn't want to be Matar the Shvua. It was Binyamin who had a problem.
But they brought in the kind of corruption. They get them this solution. I mean, the elders of Israel, they gave them the solution that they should go to the vineyard. So instead of giving them that solution, they could be matters and matter.
Why would they matter the Shavua? Yeah. Why would they matter the Shavua?
And instead they gave them that solution.
Right. Good question. I'm not sure. I don't. It seems like there must be an obvious answer because that's an obvious question, actually. Why weren't they matter the Shavua?
Rabbi Miller said that. He said in those days, a neder and a Shavua had the utmost importance. They would never touch it. It was like the holiest thing.
Right.
So rather than be matter the neder, they found a loophole. Because it was so important.
Could be. I'm not sure about that. That's what, it could be. I mean, later on, Yiftah gets punished, but why didn't he go seek out?
He
should have been out there. Well, so why didn't they do that?
Way around it.
Possibly. That's why, because there was a way to avoid having to undo it. Could be. But I hear the question. Valid question, I think. So, again, leaving that in mind, there must be something that predated this whole epic of Tu B'Av. Says the Gemara Vayter, another reason. It was the day when the Mesei Midbar stopped dying. The Amar actually called the Mesei Midbar until the Mesei Midbar, the people from the Dor HaMidbar, had not died out. Lehaya Dibor and Moshe. The Dibor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not with Moshe. What does that mean? We know all along that it definitely was. Like Rashi tells us, it's possible that it wasn't either Pel Peh. Or maybe it was Chesian, the Chesian Laila, it was type of, it was a type of vague or just an unclear type of communication between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. Ba'akopan, the Shechina wasn't on him directly until the Mesei Midbar had been Mesei Midbar. שנאמר ויקח שלטון מכל אנשי מלחמה לומוס, then וידבר אדינוי אלי, אלי היה הדיבור. When everybody died out, what happened then? So the Yerushalmi, Rashi brings it down from a Tanya, which is very interesting why he did it from Yerushalmi, but it's some tangential. The Yerushalmi in Tanya brings down what is also mentioned in the Medrash Eicha. The Braisa, the Yerushalmi or the Medrash, whatever, records that Hashem had made the Shavua that because of what they did, no one was going to go into Eretz Yisrael. They were all going to die out. So what would they do? Every Tisha B'Av, a cruise would go out. Moshe would make a proclamation. It's Tisha B'Av, and they're going to die because of the first time, right? Hashem says, I'm going to give you something to cry about. So they thought, okay, every Tisha B'Av, they're going to be dying. And they would go, they would dig graves. Moshe Rabbeinu would tell them to dig. They would dig graves. They would climb into the graves. They would lay down, knock it up. This happened for decades. Comes the last year, probably won't there itself. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the proclamation. Everybody goes, everybody digs, lies down in their graves. And mind you, this is 15, this is a huge piece of Klal Yisrael. They're all going into their graves, not waking up. Comes the last year, they go in, nothing happens. Everybody gets up. They go back the 10th day. They figure maybe we made a mistake with the Levant. Maybe it's not the 10th. It wasn't so easy. You couldn't put a calendar. Everything was lunar. It was very difficult. They go back in Yud Ba'av. Again, nothing happens. This keeps happening until they're sure that they have passed. When are they sure? By Tesvav Av. The moon then, by the 15 and a half of the month, is full. They know, okay, we didn't make a mistake in the calendar. It must have been Nisbatu Hagzera and Kalu Mase Midbar. They stopped dying. Now this new generation was going to be able to go in there strong. So the 15th day over here was a certain type of Chag, L'chayra. This Chag now happened before Kutru Shvat and Zel HaZeh. But one second, if that was the Chag, that because they realized that they had stopped dying, shouldn't that have been Tisha B'Av? Because initially it was Tisha B'Av, they would die. So now you only realize until Tesvav Ba'av, that doesn't make the Tesvav, it means the Tes was Nisbat HaGzera, so then it should have been the Yom Kippur. The simple answer is because they were still doubtful, they didn't know yet, they didn't have that amuna that they were going from death to life. It only hit them on the 15th. When it really hit them, when they realized there was this type of slicha mechila also, that's when they made a yom tov. That's a simplistic approach, no? Otherwise, why would tesvav av be the yom tov and not tesav? Then the Gemara goes right there. What was the other reasons? Ulamar yevshibit al-hashev and ela the prizdoyes. Prizdoyes is a Latin word means basically protection or guards. Some have prustiyos, prusteris. Shahoshiv Yerov Benevot al-Drom Tadeel Yisrov al-Regel. Yerov Benevot would put these guards not allowing anybody to enter to go up the road to Yerushalayim. Came along Hashem ben Ela and he got rid of these. Now there was open passage. He said anybody who wants to be able to go up can go up. So that was another Yom Tov. But again, this was all chronologically, this was later. The other answer of Masnamar, Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. It was the day when the Haruge Beitar, after that whole Makoma happened, and Hadrianus didn't let them be buried, when they finally Nitin Likvura, they made a Yom Tov. Bamar of Masna also, Oysa Yom Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura, Tiknu Biyavne Hatoy Vahamete. The Baruch Nehemi Katoy Vahamete, this was established from that epic. Hatoy Shulei Hesriku, the good that the body, the corpses didn't have a stench. The Hametiv Shenitnu Lekvura. And Hashem's that who's Metiv because now they were finally given proper Kvura. Rabbi Yosef Damit Shavah Yem Shepasku Milikreis Eitzim Lamarocha. Another reason, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, they say it was the day on Tesvav Ba'av when they would stop having to fell the trees. They would need Atzim Aracha for the Kavanis. I test Ba'av Rashi is Masbid, that's when the weather was best dry, and the wood wouldn't get wormy, so that was like a Yom Tov, that they had the best type of wood. They wouldn't need to cut that. Wonderful. Tanya Yehuda Gadol Omer, From the 15th of Av and on, the koyach of the chama gets weaker, or it's further. Okay. Again, same thing, it gets weaker, so therefore it wouldn't affect the trees, and therefore the it wasn't so wormy, the quality was better. Amar of Manashia, Vikarule, Yom Tavar Magal. They were called that day because it was a Yom Tav for them, Tavar Magal, the breaking of the Magal, the sickle knife that they would use to cut it down. Mikan ve'elach, so the more something seemingly odd or bizarre the relation. Mikan ve'elach, the moisif yosef, whoever adds, adds, u the lo moisif, whoever doesn't add, ye asek, miloshin ye asek al amor, he will expire. Tony Rav Yosef, ma ye asek, am Rav Yosef, what does that mean, ye asek? Tik rehime, his mother will bury him. What's it talking about, someone who adds, if he will add? Says Rashi, Mikan ve'elah from Mechamishas about ve'elah the Moisiv Leilei Salhiyomim. Now that the nights are getting longer on the day, so he should be Moisiv Lasek Bathura Yosef Chayim Al Chayim. You have more time to learn now at night, so you should be able to learn. And the more somebody learns at night, he takes advantage of these nights, he'll get more Chayim. The Lo Yosef Lasek Bathura Leilei, somebody who's not utilizing these longer nights to learn. Wonderful. So those are the five reasons. These first two, Shehut Shvatim Lavei Zeh B'Zeh and Hutar Bin Yomim, those seem chronologically the earliest, or the Meisei Midbar. So again, so what was happening? We had the first two really happened on the same day that was happening at the time of Shoftim. That was when it's at the end of Shaykh, it really happened much earlier in the book, even though it's recorded later. It happened earlier by Yeshua. And then they're saying that there was a Chag of Yomim Yomima, which Lechayra points to what was that Chag. That Chag may have been the other reason that we give right after the Shekolu Meisei Midbar. So they stopped dying. They hopped on that 15th day that the Zer was bottled. And therefore, it's a huge simcha. So now maybe that sheds somewhat light between that and Yom Kippur, the awesomeness of Yom Kippur. What happens, Bessem? The idea that they were internalizing was what we also just had a few weeks ago. We're going to have now by Akiv. What happens a few weeks ago? The Torah tells us that the Yisrael of Israel from that they went from Lysera to Bnei Yaakov. And that Moshe died in the interim by Har Ha'har. He dies by Har Ha'har, and then Vayipu Bnei Yisrael Shloshim Yomim. They cry for him, they mourn for him 30 days. But soon we have in Akev, Moshe Rabbeinu is going over their whole history with them. And in the middle of his discussion about getting the Luchas, he says that he comes out to get the Luchas Shnius, he tells them, so I get it, I come down, tells the Taps away. And Shom Mesahari, Vayikavet Shom. He died over there. As opposed to what we just had a few weeks ago, he died in by the Har Ha'har. That was somewhere else, geographically. So Rashi, over here, he says very simple, Ma'inyon Elokan. He's no talk, Moshe Rabbeinu is no talk to Israel about the Matan Torah. So he came down, he got the lupus, and then all of a sudden he sticks this in, which is also, not only does he stick it in, the way he tells us that the events happened, seem to have been absent or backward. So Rashi says, because Be'etzem, he died over there. What happened? What happened was that when Aaron was Nifter, they got scared. Klaisho started going back. They wanted to go back there to Mitzrayim. There was internal fighting. And a lady stops them. They went back a bunch of Masais until they went back seven Masais, actually, like Shiva. They were sitting Shiva, so to say. They went back Shiva Masois. On the eighth Masa, when they lady catches them, they're talking to them, they tell us what he talked about. It's Aaron who's protecting us. Even Melech Aaron, the Melech of Canaan, he had, that was because of Aaron, like the Gemara Roshana tells us. Mashmur Shama, you heard that Mace Aaron. And then once they internalized that it was because of Aaron, that's when they actually mourn for Aaron. That's what the Torah is telling us over here. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, Shom Mace Aaron. Not literally. He died actually not that much early by Harahar. It was only then when they internalized it, that's when they said, because the Torah there says they push Lashem Yod. He says it only hit them here. They couldn't mourn. They were too busy, you know, thinking, oh, Aaron died. Let's go back. It's terrible. They're going to kill us. Only after it sunk in did they sit. Same thing by the Mesei Midbar. By the Mesei Midbar, they went from a whole change mentally. They went from thinking every year for decades they're having 15,000 dying, digging their own graves, lying in it, and dying. The last one, they were still Mesopic. Are they going to? Maybe we made a mistake. Post this, that. Once it really sinks in on Tu B'Av, it's to make the Yom Tov. I heard a cute bark from, I forgot who it was, Rabbi Yitzchak. He was quoting, I think his name was Rabbi Shlaitz. I didn't even know him. He was quoting the Nigeras HaTshuva from the Rebbe, the first Rebbe. He said, supposedly the Rebbe there says that by the bracha of Slach Lanu, if a guy doesn't actually believe that he can go from irrevocable slicha or from chaton to irrevocable slicha, a suffic bracha. And suffic bracha, you shouldn't make the bracha, you shouldn't say rosh hashanah ma'ariv v'slicha. If you think that there's a shemitz, Hashem is not moichel v'slicha, you shouldn't make the bracha. So this concept is what they were internalizing, that they went from pure chayim, they went from pure misa, the oinish that they had, they went to pure chayim. When it sinks in, that's when they made the Yom Tov. Beautiful. The problem with this, though, is still, nevertheless, we're saying that on Kippur they were dancing. It's actually not following with this. This explained it a bit. What was the significance of Tu B'Av? So that's taken care of, I think, in my humble opinion. I can understand. I can sort of sleep well at night. But still, L'chayr Ton Beer, still, what does that have to do with Yom Kippur? You're telling me that even Yom Kippur, they would go out on the holy day of the year, they would go out dancing? So, in fact, there is some dispute about who wrote what. In the Mishnah, getting back, leaving the Gemara, going back to the Mishnah. Who said what? Who equated who to? That we know Rav Gamliel said that. But then who said the son of Bochur Inecha? Who brought the Pasuk of Zenorin Ebon Eitzim Melech Shalema? What's the shot? Like, why are you bringing the second pasuk of the chayim hu oimer? How is that bolstering your first point that you're saying tnoi nefa b'yayfi, this and that? And then Michal, the bigger question of Yom Kippur, they were dancing. And like Yom Kippur, when Adar of Gemara is telling us, the Gemara Numa tells us Eliyahu Hanavi met, I forgot who it was, I think it was an Amor, not a Tanada. Eliyahu Hanavi tells him, you want to know why I didn't yet come? Because there was a fellow who was boiled of Sula, even on Yom Kippur, or a father and a son, all these mice and Noyroim on Yom Kippur, because Chazal was so makbid on Yom Kippur, they would send out Shoimrim to be makbid on Tznius. And you're telling me now, Rosh Hashanah is saying that Yom Kippur, they were going out dancing in white clothes? So, how much longer do I have?
Please
don't. So, when's Maariv?
As long as you keep us interested, you keep talking.
So there's actually some dispute, like I said. There's a fellow Tzvi Molter or Henry Molter. He was probably from the first ones of the academic world who published a Masechta critical. That means he took all the different manuscripts, he edited it, he showed the figure size, which one is best, and yada yada. This was, I think, early in the early 20s. So he put out, and he was the first one who did it. It was similar to the Diktuke Seifer, which we all know from Rav Nachman Rabinowitz. But he, Chazanata, had the Shas, and on the bottom, he only had a few, he had maybe four or five manuscripts, most in Munich, and on the bottom, he would show some different gear sites. Molter had the whole Gemara doing a much more critical job. This was like a proper Masechta. He brings on the bottom over there. I don't have it here. And he brings over there that this is the Chen Hu Omer is not found in most manuscripts. The Rambam has a different Gersa. He goes on to count a bunch of Nuschais, a bunch of manuscripts, which the Duke Sefer didn't bring. And it comes out that this whole thing is butchered. What really may have happened? So as follows. But let's preface it with one more thing. Is Yerushalmi in Ksubis, in the beginning of the second paragraph, Yerushalmi says, is talking about a woman who is Nis Armila or Nis Garsha. And she's saying, she was either widowed or divorced, and now she's saying, however, that I get a full Ksuba because he married me as a Psula. That's the Mishnah. And what does he get? Machlag is fine. It goes on to say the Gemara. What happens if there's Aiden? There's Aiden that says she went out behinuma. Her hair was done a certain way. So there's actually, then the Gemara says, I think it was Yochanan, or maybe even Rav Shlomo Gamliel, I forgot who it was who said it, that even if she went out on Yom Kippur with her hair done, that alone would be proof that she was Taka B'sul and she got married and she would get the folks of the wonderful. Yom Kippur, the Gemara mentioned, she would go out to Yom Kippur. First of all, if it's referring to this Yom Tiv that we know of, or how Rashbag was describing what was going on in Yom Kippur, why not mention also Chamisha Zabar? So there was a fellow, Rabbi Safa Tamar. Rabbi Safa Tamar was a Yusam Chafon. Of course, he's not that known. I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the Mizrahi world, he is. Most of his library went to Alon Shvut, and over there, they somewhat rehabilitated his Torah. Rabbi Safa Tamar wrote a parish in Yerushalmi, Ali Tamar. His son is actually more known. Unfortunately, his son was a fine Tom Chacham and a Chayker. His son wrote a lot on the Ari, the Beis Yosef, Kabbalah. But his father was a real old school Tom Chacham, and he was from the unique Mefarshim, the Mechabrim, who wrote a Perush on the Yerushalmi. He brings over there that L'chayra, why did you pick Yom Kippur? What's going on here? And he refers to the Targum in Eicha that we mentioned earlier. So then he says, but one second, Taka, so why not Chamisha Sabaav? So he gives a simple reason. It could be because Yom Kippur was just, that was D-Day, it was Nechras, everybody is in their minds. So that's why they chose that, possibly. But then he goes on and he brings that a fellow by the name of Tzvi Kapishtik, I forgot his name, he said, he wrote a Maimer and a Tzayfer, and this, I think his name was Kapishtik, maybe I'm mispronouncing it. He quotes from a book, Oihel David, from Sassoon, famous Sassoon family, the big philanthropist in India and China. They were very wealthy fellows, originally from Iraq, and they had a massive library of all different things. And in this Oihel David, he quotes as follows. He says that he saw in a parish of high, quoting Rav Haigoin, that Rav Haigoin said, that really in this Mishnah, the whole end describing the dancing had nothing to do, there's not going back on Yom Kippur. Two separate things. In Kabbalah and the Kabbalah, it's a fascinating read because it's the Chalal, not the Mashmos of Mishnah. It seems like it's both together, even though it may not make sense at first, like what's the dancing have to do with Yom Kippur. But the reed definitely does go together, but he brings from the Goyim, Rav Haigoin and Rav Shrira, that this whole dancing chapel has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. In Kana makes a little more sense. Why the Yerushalmi is not referring to Chamisha Sabaav, and also why he's not mentioning the dancing, because it didn't happen. That's according to that. Others go ahead and give a nice musarvar. They explain that it's not talking about all these psukim. It's talking about the Medrash says anytime it's in Shir Hashirim, song that Hamelech Shlem, Hamelech Shalom Shaloi, and we're telling Hashem, Son of Nechut to us, and yada yada. In fact, the Divrei Yisrael, Yisrael Veritz, it was a dynam in Budapest, in his Chuv is Divrei Yisrael, Divrei Yisrael, he has a siman over there, and he says, the whole siman is just about trying to understand what is this shaitis, even though it's a child's Chuv is having this, he's trying to understand what was going on here. And he brings down that, he brings from a few people who wrote to him, you know, he said, I never found a good shot. At the end, he brings down from the, who was it? The Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnayos and Yochanan Lo'ev, where the Yochanan Lo'ev, if you look up at this, on this last mission in Titus, he gives a whole nice Musarvar to how, who, like I said, the Pasuk is talking to Hashem, and how Hashem should look down to us, and don't look at our avonos, look at this, yada yada. And the Eben Yisrael, the Divrei Yisrael says, and I'm sure, Mutachani, if you read this every day, with Tiferes Yisrael, the Kol Rom, that like Yeshuas and yada yada. Okay, it's very nice, but again, it's not Pashup Shah. It doesn't seem like it. Okay, Al Kopanim, what do we have? We have the Mishnah that seems that it's talking, just to wrap it up, because we are getting late. We see the simplistic reading is Rashbag is telling us both Yom Kippur and Chamisha Rasva'av, they would go dancing, they would have this huge singles event. Why? Because L'chor, the simple chat again, it was because of the Slichu Mechila that we got, transforming the person totally, spiritually, also ideologically, realizing being marked the Rosh Hashanah, that he's giving us now a new slate, even on Tu B'Av. Why? Because on that first Tu B'Av, that's when we realized that we were getting a new slate, we were going to go on the Peretz Yisrael then. After that, came along the other reasons, L'chor, and everyone took advantage of, oh, the 15th day, is an ominous day, it's a wonderful tzachar, yom yamima. So that's when they made the whole hutru shvatim lavei zeh lazeh. That's also when Binyamin was allowed to be again part of Bnei Yisrael. Interestingly, there's also, I saw in the drasha from Rabbi Yeshua Ibn Shuib. He was a Talmud of the Rashba, and he was a regular, Talmud of the Rashba, busy with Shazrim, but he also has the famous drushas that he wrote. He wrote also a super commentary on Ramban, on the Kabbalistic pieces of Ramban. As you know, Ramban is replete with it, and therefore there's a bunch of Purushim, actually, just on the Kabbalistic pieces of Ramban. So in his drushas, however, he says like this, I took a picture. If anybody would like, I can send it to you. And he says something very interesting. After, in this drush of this week, Parshas Va'eschanan, he starts off with this Mishnah. He goes into it again, discussing it nicely, allegorically. Very nice, wonderful. But then he also mentions the Pashup Shat, the reasons mentioned in the Gemara. And then he says something very interesting, which will clearly fell out of practice. He says, V'lachei nohagu lasais ha-shabas hazeh achar tes ba'ov ki yomtiv. This Shabbos Nachamu, I don't think he would go to a hotel. He didn't seem the type, but he says they would make this Shabbos something. Kiyomtiv v'hi mitzvah gedayla shehu yom nechama v'afal pi she'ena yomtiv mamish also isa yom mekudesh lechvayd haShabbos by b'yom tes vav ulefa'amim huyut tes k'may acha b'zuah hashana, the year that he was writing. It would fall then, but either way, he said, regardless of the date, it was the Shabbos that would follow the test Baal. V'kol ha-samech v'ezech v'necham v'zbinyin b'es ha-migdash, v'mashenem v'senu v'renem v'nesir, beautiful, and he ends up with the rest of that Mishnah. But this is very interesting, because he's telling us that the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, they would make a kiyomtiv. I would imagine, especially in Israel, where they hang up, eggs and whatnot, they would make also something unique. Something that to bring back the old school, they would bring it back, right? According to these drushes, that day was something. In fact, even the Ritva, I don't think it's over here in Tainis, the Gemara, because this Brisa that's brought later on in Lamed is also mentioned in Bava Basra. The Mishnah is over here in Tainis. However, the whole Brisa of the Bishlam Yom Kippur fine, Tuba Mai, that's part of our Basra. Over there, the Ritvani also, if I'm not mistaken, he says that it's a Ktas mitzvah to make simcha on this Yom Tov. After they got there, was even this, I don't know what punk this I brought, maybe I was reading last. Punk this I brought. It was a mitzvah, and it was a very a celebratory date. Which after the cap, we find out something interesting. I found something interesting. I don't know if you guys will find, but I found Shirei Avram ben Chalfon. Avram ben Chalfon was one of the early Paitanim in Aden, Italy. Aden, Yemen. But Aden, Yemen. And he's going back in the 1200s. He was a big Talmud Chacham. We know from a bunch of his piyutim. He wrote piyutim on the scale of halacha, the shechita and whatnot. We know others how they refer to him in later generations. They're referring to him Ha'adini, Avraham, he was Talmud Chacham and whatnot. But he also wrote a bunch of shirim, a bunch of poetry. And he has a piyut devoted to Chamisha Asa Ba'av. His Tasei Rupin Elyon Kinicham Hashem Tziyayim. It should be misbaser, get the good besuris, because Hashem was Menachem. Ask Chassadach Malkin, I can cover Yosefa. He meant, and he says he's going to go on and talk about the Brias. And then he starts listing each of these things that are mentioned in the Gemara. Beyond ze, netzer mikedem, negev mi mesei midbar. On this day, that's when the negev, the magefa, of them dying, had stopped. Ubin yamin, the tzair raidim, it's an adjective that he's taking from Tehillim. Binyamin the small was Lashifteya by his Chabar. He was Mishabar to the Shvatim. Rotven to Pedma Pedomi is Abba after their Amy because of what they did. Kitiya later on, okay, yada yada. Roin Patsu Shvatim. The other Shvatim were open with Roin, Yang said. The Yeshavai Zazar, why? Kivai Lava Izebazet, his Chaber Hutaru. And to be Mishabar wanted to intermarry. They were Mutter. Then he goes on, anyways. You see that even Bizman, not even, primarily Bizman or Rishonim, this was a big deal. Hamisha Sabaav. Why we don't do it today? I don't know. I mean, it seems like even the modern Israeli culture, they celebrate it more than us. Because I didn't check, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have some type of singles weekend this week somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, in some Moshav or whatnot. But the idea of this, the Valentine's Day, if you want to say, the idea of the love, which they think comes from Tuba of Lechoyer, is attached to the din, the yom of Slicho Mechila. This concept that we had both on Yom Kippur and both on Tuba of the first time where they realized that Hashem was moichel them and gave them a new slate of life. And that should lead us on time tomorrow.